And again, happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Gary reminded me he forgot to mention the Geary family. We lost Karen this week. And Lord, I want to pray right now for the Geary family, and as we get ready to do this talk. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for Karen and for her coming here and her faith and her time that she had with you, has with you. And Lord, guide us, guide the family, help us to be a support and help this family through this time. I know it's hard. Comfort them with your Holy Spirit, please. And Lord, as I give this talk today, I want it to be your talk, not my talk. Help me to submit to your Spirit today. And I just ask you to, again, intervene and speak directly to people. And I know often I'm listening to a speaker and I just hear a different sermon and different thoughts. And I just thank you for that. That you can speak through people like me, but you can also speak direct. And I just thank you for that. Guide us today. Help us to acknowledge you and help us to act on that knowledge and not just have faith in our heads, but use it with our hands and feet too. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, happy Father's Day to dads. It's also the first day of summer. First day of summer. And I got looking online this morning. They said in Petoskey, today, 15 hours and 40 minutes of sunlight of while the sun is up. And the farther north you go, the longer it gets. So if you're up in Copper Harbor today, you get 15 hours and 58 minutes, 18 minutes longer by being up there in Copper Harbor. So that's pretty cool. And I think for me, that little acknowledgement kind of fits in with today's talk, believe it or not. Keith talked about the, I'm fumbling with the, I didn't have it on my screen. We're going through the statement of faith for the church, and God was the creator was the first thing he talked about. Well, today's, I'll read the as it's written in our statement of purpose for today, God reveals himself in creation, in history, and supremely in his son, Jesus Christ, as recorded in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. These scriptures are the supreme and final authority for the church. So God reveals himself in creation. You know, when you're, you know, kids over here in the Bible school program or in Sunday school program, one of the first verses you learn, at least I did, was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's Genesis 1:1. And when we were doing Awana years ago now, another memory verse we had was John 1:1-3. And it's similar. But I always use some hand gestures with those kids to help them get the point across. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So making that parallel, that connection between the Trinity that Keith talked about last week and that Jesus is part of the creating force of God as well. Well, turn the screen up there, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. Maybe this is familiar. A lot of the Psalms are. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. You know, you don't hear actual words from creation, but boy, it sure speaks a lot, doesn't it? When you see creation and you go out there, how many of you like, you know, Father's Day is a classic day for dads to say, I'm going fishing, I'm going golfing, I'm going to not make it to church today, because I kind of really experience God a lot out there in creation, and that's legitimate. You know, you can we can poke fun at dads and say, oh, you're just trying to get out of going to church, but that is a legitimate, I know for me, that's a legitimate seeking and noticing and participating with God, don't you? Here's another one from Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 25 to 28. To whom will you compare me? Obviously, this is God speaking. This is the Old Testament, so it's God the Father. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each one of them by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Right after that that verse is young men stumble and fall, but they will rise up on wings like eagles. That's a more familiar part of that passage. This week, our family, at least my wife and I, we're not on Facebook. Not on Facebook? No, my wife was on for a while, and we switched computers, and she got tired of the kind of drama associated with it, so she didn't get back on Facebook. But our family has gotten into doing, we got a family text, which is really cool. So all of our kids are on the same link, so when we want to say something to the whole family, we use just hit that link, and you know, and it works really well. Well, this week, Carlene, our oldest, who's out there in California, and you know, she's getting up there. She's over 45, I'll leave it at that. She's over 45, but she sent this photo of a pill bug. How many of you know what a pill bug is? I called them curl bugs when I was a little kid. Curl bugs, but those little bugs that roll into a ball. Roly-polies, that's the other name. I couldn't think of that. Yeah, roly-polies. And that's what kind of bug it was. And she said, this is so cool. And I appreciate that. She notices little things like bugs. And it started a conversation. Well, our number four daughter, she said, oh, my daughter has a couple of those in a jar that she has for pets. And do you know that we have to spray water on them because they don't breathe with lungs, they breathe with gills. So you have to keep them moist. I didn't know that. And then one of the other daughters said, yeah, I did a talk at VBS a couple years ago at our church about that, so I learned a lot about them. And then the other one said, yeah, and there are different colors depending on where you go in the world, and you can buy them as pets for your kids. And I was thinking about getting some for my daughter, but the ones that are local are really cool. And just the fact that they are local, my wife says, and they tied that all together, it's kind of like local history has more meaning when you know kind of the surroundings and what's going on with it. And I thought that was so cool. So cool that they really appreciated that part of nature and that had that interest and that awareness. This is God's creation. How many of you like to go to, I remember when I was, before I was a Christian, I was a young person and we were, like to hang out together with other friends, and then we would all, in the summertime, leave Harbor Springs, and you would end up with a train of cars, and we would go out to Seven Mile Point and view the sunset. There'd be a whole line of cars out there, and now you got rocks piled next to the road, and you can't do that anymore and stuff, but it used to be a lot of people really appreciating the sunsets. And, you know, you see that sunset park in Petoskey. A lot of folks do appreciate sunsets. And have you ever had those occasions where you see the sun is near sunset, and it's kind of, there's a big cloud in front of the sun, and then it get a hole in the cloud, and you get those sunbeams streaming down. Doesn't that make you think of God? That imagery is used on Hallmark cards and all kinds of things, but I do think of that myself when I look at that. And I like to hunt and fish. And, you know, when you're doing hunting, you have to learn about the behavior of what you're hunting, whether it's morels or deer or rabbits or whatever you're hunting. You need to learn about that. And it is learnable. Isn't that cool? God does have enough patterns and behaviors, the way things are, that we can learn, and we can learn from God. And that sets up, like we were saying, the summertime, the solstice right today. There are seasons and patterns and things that Keith mentioned too. And all that bears witness to God. Bears witness to God. You ever run into somebody who says, "Oh, I don't believe in God. No, he's not." Can you really? People do. But you look at the complexity, how big, how immense creation is, and then you start looking down how small, and it goes smaller and smaller and smaller. It's like you can't get to the end of it, big or small. You can follow God all the way through. You can see God all the way through. Well, we're going to read this passage in Romans. Kind of a scary one to me. The wrath of God, there it sounds scary right off the bat. The wrath of God. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Isn't that kind of frightening? I reject you, God. I don't want to believe that you have a hand in creation. This stuff all just happened, right? This stuff all just happened. There is no higher power. There is no God involved. And you hear that, don't you? I've heard that. I like to throw in a couple of Greek terms. Bear with me. In that verse 20, it talks about since creation. That's katisis. That's bringing something into existence that didn't exist. Something from nothing. Something from nothing. So that's not just adapting something. It's just right out of nothing. And then his divine nature in that same verse, that's theotis in the Greek, and it signifies the sum total of God's attributes. If you were in a Sunday school class and somebody said, "What are the attributes of God?" Boy, you hear those omniscience, omnipresence, all-knowing, all-seeing, a lot of those. God is love, too. And all those, if you put that all in a basket, that's what that verse is saying. It's not just one part of God, God's function, but all of it together. Having been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. That has things that what God has made, that's poema, and that is from that word, we get the poem. We get a poem. It's God's creative outlay. This is his artwork. This is his display of. How do you explain why God would have color in the world? You know, what's the function? I don't know. But I'm sure thankful that there is color. Same thing with different sounds and music and all that stuff. God could make it black and white and monotone, and he could have created all kinds of things, but I'm just continually amazed at his creativity and how he explains himself through creation. Well, last week, Keith used this passage in Colossians. He started off in verse 16. I'm going to back it up to verse 15 and read that again. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. The Son, who's the Son? Jesus, the Son. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, in Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Remember that statement of faith, God is revealed supremely in his Son. In everything that he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Pretty amazing. You know, people say, you know, in several occasions in Jesus' life, and I didn't note the passages, but I think it's, was it Thomas said, "Show us the Father, and we'll so we can believe." And he said, "Have I been with you so long, you don't know? I am in the Father, and the Father is me. When you've seen the Father, you've seen me. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So that continuity of the Godness is all included there with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3a, the first half of verse 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And so, a little bit of a shift here. Now, talking about how God is revealed in creation. And the last part of that statement of faith says, these scriptures are the supreme and final authority for the church. The scriptures are the supreme and final authority for the church. So I'm going to go read a couple of passages about the scriptures. This is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Should be maybe familiar to you guys. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I remember it being the Word of God is living and active instead of alive. But that's the same thing, living and active. The Word of God is not just a sheet of paper or pages of paper, right? And if you've ever read passages like I have, that some passage like, oh, that's a nice passage. It makes me think of this. And a couple weeks or years later, you read the same passage. Well, yeah, I thought this, but I never saw that right there. It just popped into my life. That really has meaning for me today. And that's the living and active part. You know, it can meet our needs in many different ways and occasions and when the needs arise. Another passage, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This is probably the more familiar one in terms of the scriptures. Verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, I said I was involved in Awana for years and years, and Awana has a theme verse, and it explains why they have that silly name, A-W-A-N-A. And we would do a song, A-W-A-N-A. We would do all these songs and all this stuff, but that A-W-A-N-A represents approved workmen are not ashamed, and that comes from 2 Timothy 3:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, accurately representing and using God's word, accurately and in the right context and making good use of it. James 2:10 says, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. Do what it says. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Talk about Father's Day just a little, because it is Father's Day. We were talking over the weekend, my wife was saying, yeah, you know, it's a really interesting conversation she had with one of her uncles who came up to visit, and she was visiting with him. This is years ago now, and he said, looking at your life, and I look at my own life and how I raise my kids and stuff, and watching what you're doing, I see that if I was to do one thing over again or better, I would give more emphasis to spiritual things, raising my kids, than I have in the past. You know, and that's, as a dad, that's a really important responsibility, and it's easy for us to say, I'm the breadwinner, I'm providing things, I'm taking care of the house outside, mowing the lawn and all that stuff, I got plenty to do. But it still is a job of dads, isn't it, to train up your kids and to be the helpmeet to your wife, to love and to cherish her. I miss my dad. I don't know about you. How many of you your dads are gone? Your dads are gone, and I miss my dad. And, you know, earthly dads are not perfect, and we all know that. Earthly dads have their flaws and failings, but I really appreciated my dad. And when my dad was no longer able, you know a little bit of my story. My dad had an accident, became quadriplegic, couldn't travel. My uncle, his brother, would come up. And I really appreciated that. He was a little bit of my dad. You know, he carried the same Williams culture, which has a lot of quirks to it. Williams culture, he would share that, share family stories. And I really, really appreciated that. You guys have, I know most of you may have someone who acts like another dad to you, or the dad you'd missed out on. Some of you are maybe adopted. You know, that role of dad is not limited to biology. And I'm thankful for that, too. I ran into somebody I worked with a couple days ago, and he was talking about his life and saying that he's got a different job than he's had in the past, and now he's kind of a crew leader for like 20 guys, and he's got to watch over them. And how important and how he takes it seriously that this is an important job, and it's not just to make sure that the job gets done. Maybe I care too much, but I care about these guys, and I feel for them, and I want to be supportive in the rest of the life, not just what's happening on the job. And yeah, you can take that too far, but for me right now, I'm really noticing, and I'm trying to do a good job of being, and I said, that's fatherly. You're being, this is Father's Day weekend. So you're being a dad. You're functioning like a dad in that way. Oh, yeah, yeah. So each of us, we need to be aware of our role in the community, not just our own immediate families. I was helping this week with Bible school over in Alanson, my daughter's church. She's kind of got Renee's job at that church over there, and she wanted some help, so I was helping out, and I was noticing, not about you guys, but Jim shuffling back and forth here this morning trying to keep the technology in place, because it can really be a challenge sometimes. And thank you, Jim. Jim and those crew that Cindy and everybody who works in that, that's a hidden place. You got your back to, everybody's got their back to you, but that's an important job. Well, anyway, back at this church in Atlanta, and there was a guy there. I was doing music, and he was doing the tech part of that service. And real quiet, no frills guy, you wouldn't hardly notice him. He didn't make a show of himself. He didn't come Friday. And we got word, I got a text from my daughter later that afternoon. He died. He died. And I thought, and he's a dad. And I thought, how amazing that he was taking the time to share Christ with other kids, with adults, with other people. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't using his voice so much, but he was using what talents God had given him to serve God. And I was so thankful for that. And he was good at what he did. And his wife was heading up the skits and things. Really fun gal. But I would ask that you be remembering them in prayer. His name was Mark Brown. That's the first I met him. You know, I didn't know him otherwise. But they're going to have a rough time, I'm sure, getting through this. But I'm so thankful, again, that he went down that way, that he was serving right up to the end. Don't wait. Don't wait, like my wife's uncle said. Don't wait when you sense that God wants you to do something like stressing spiritual things with your family, or you have an opportunity come up and... Oh, I probably should, but oh, I'm busy. I don't want to deal with that. We're all busy, aren't we? We're all busy. Can we be busy doing the Lord's work? That is specifically the Lord's work. You know, well, everything we do is viewed by God, and people are always watching us, whether we like it or not. People are watching us. That's my admonishment. Always be serving God, whether you realize it or not. Be aware that we're serving God. And then actively choose some service as well. And if you've had a tough time with your dad, your earthly dad, you say, boy, you don't know my dad. This was rough. I feel fortunate to have survived this. And there's some real scary things that have happened in families and continue to happen. And I'm not trying to diminish that. But, you know, as we look at Christ's relationship with God the Father, it's a strange thing that God placed him in the position of a son to come on earth. But it says that Christ learned obedience through that which he suffered. You know that obedience is not fun? You know, obedience is not what I want to do all the time. But God uses even people who are not following him to accomplish his will. And if your dad was somebody you're struggling to get over that, this would be a great time to, through God, through the Lord, through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, to lay that down some way, to give it to God and say, Lord, you're my Heavenly Father. Help me to respond as a child of yours to you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you welcome us as children. You gave us the power to become sons and daughters of you. Help us to submit to you, and I know it's not always fun, and it isn't easy, but it is hard, and it is what you command and ask us to do. Help us to submit to you and learn from you and gain from you and serve you. Guide us this afternoon as we hang out and have fun as dads and enjoy the thanks our kids and spouses give us. Commit this afternoon to you. In Jesus' name, amen.